Blog Talk Radio.
Praise be to God, everybody. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. To be alive one more day. Praise be to God. And good morning, and welcome to The Apostle Speaks. My name is Evangelist Hilda, and I am the co-pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. Today, we have our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins. She is the elder of the House of Manessa Christian Ministries. She brings a word from God every Saturday morning at 10:15 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So first, we would like to thank you for tuning in to The Apostle Speaks. At this time, I like to read our devotional message, which is entitled, I Am Working on Your Behalf. Amen. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Psalms the Psalms chapter 36, verse 9. For with you is the foundation of life. In your light, we see light. Amen. My second scripture reading for this message is coming from Genesis chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. And it says, now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he has said. And the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age. Amen. And at the very time God had promised him, Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. And she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. Praise be to God. And my third scripture reading comes from Hebrews 11 and 1 from the AMP Bible. And it says, now faith is the assurance, which is the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Praise be to God for the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Again, the title is, I am working on your behalf. The writer says, bring me all your concerns, including your dreams. Talk with me about everything, letting the light of my presence shine on your hope and plans. Spend time allowing my light to infuse your dreams with life, gradually transforming them into reality. This is a very practical way of collaborating with me. I, the creator of the universe, have designed to co-create with you. Do not try to hurry this process. If you want to work with me, you have to accept my time frame. Hurry is not in my nature. Abraham and Sarah had to wait many years for the fulfillment of my promise, a son. How their long wait intensified their enjoyment of this child. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, preceding as real fact, what is not revealed to the senses. Praise be to God, and I pray that this devotional message was a blessing to you, as it is always unto me. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. Amen. The Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. By Francesca. Praise God.
Yeah. There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone.
Welcome in the Holy Spirit. I will play Good Morning, Lord, while we're waiting on our speaker for this morning. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So at this time, I will play another selection. And after the selection, unfortunately, our speaker could not be with us this morning. So I will come back with a word from the Lord. Amen. So after the selection, praise be to God.
Just gotta wait. You gotta trust him and give him time. No matter how long it takes, he's You can't hurry God. Oh no, you just gotta wait. You gotta trust him and give him time. No matter how long it takes, he's a God.
He's a God you can't hurry.
Praise be to God, everybody. Again, my scripture reading is coming from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, and down to verse 14. And the second scripture reading is coming from 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Amen. Again, our speaker could not be with us this morning, so I will bring a word. Amen. Praise God. John 1, 1 through 5 says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Praise be to God. Verse 2, he existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Now let's go over to verse 14 and verse 14 says, so the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Amen. Now let's go over to 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And this pertaining to God is light. We proclaim to you the one who exists from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. This one who is life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him, and now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he was revealed to us. May the Lord richly add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Praise God. And if I make a mistake doing my reading, it's simply because my eyes are not really focusing well this morning. Amen. Praise God. So just bear with me. Okay. The gospel speaks in different ways about Jesus' birth. Matthew lists the genealogy of Joseph. He was interested in the legal and the Jewish aspect of Jesus' birth. Luke, who apparently had many conversations with Mary and with others, told of the visit of the angelic choir. He spoke of the manger and listed the genealogy of Jesus on Mary's side. Now, Mark did not even mention Jesus' birth, but he does tell about Jesus' miraculous deeds. And John wrote his gospel from an entirely different perspective than did the other three. So each one wrote a different account of Jesus' birth. He was the youngest, John was, the youngest of the apostles. He wrote his gospel, his three epistles, and Revelation when he was an old man. He did not give a chronological view of Jesus' life, but he reflected on Jesus' life in relationship to what had happened to him. It is not appropriate to simply say that John wrote philosophically, amen, about Jesus. He was more interested in Jesus religiously than historically. Amen? So John was saying, let me tell you what has happened to me because I know Jesus. Amen? My text for this message is coming from John 1 and 14, and it says, the word was made flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. And my title is The Word Became Flesh. Praise God. Let us pray. Dear Father, We thank you for sending your son to this world for us. We know that we are undeserving of him, but thank you that he came to a humble manger and to a humble people. May he who is so humbly came gloriously live in our hearts in the name of Jesus. Now, Father God, remove self out of the way and allow the Holy Spirit to bring forth what thus says the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Today, or this morning, my message is divided into three sections. First, we are going to touch on Jesus as the Word. Now, when John called Jesus the Word, many believe he brought a new dimension to Christian theology. They saw that John tried to unite an African philosopher and Christianity. I doubt that John even knew what the philosophers of Alexandria were saying. John wrote under inspiration when he said in John 1:1, I want to tell you about what I have experienced from God. I want to tell you about the Word, the Logos of God, and that's L-O-G-O-S, one whose name is Jesus. He said in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. Praise God. Now, before Bethlehem, the Word exists because God is the Word. John believed that Jesus was the Son of God. In fact, there is no reason for Christian theology if Jesus is not the Son of God. Now, the Word as authority, there must be a basis for Jesus' authority. So let's find out, why would John call Jesus the Word? Well, because he thought of God as absolute authority. He thought of God as the source of every existing thing. So he said, in the beginning was the Word. God has always existed. John said, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was calling Jesus the Word. And he was saying, Jesus was with God and Jesus was God. John had a Trinitarian concept of God. So John had a Trinitarian concept of God. He was saying there is one God, and while there is one God, Jesus, the Word, is with God. The Spirit is with God, and he is God. Amen. Now, we're going to talk about Jesus as the source. So Jesus as the source, which is the same was in the beginning with God, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And that's John 1, 2 through 3. So this God, who is Christ, is the source of all things. All things were made by him. Our environment was made by him. Our lives were made by him. In fact, without him was not anything made that was made. Nothing is possible in this life without God. Without Jesus, people can create nothing. Without Jesus, people can accomplish nothing. Now, the source of life, that's Jesus as the source of life. Life comes from God, and thus all of life's meaning comes from God. Every activity of life comes from God. Without him was not anything made that was made. Now, we are totally dependent on him. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, John 1 and 4. God did not come to the world as theory. People have always tried to explain the source of life in some natural way. People may explain life as coming from the sun, coming from fire, or even coming from a process of evolution. People may actually admit they don't understand life, but they do know there must be a source. Now, Jesus as the source of light. Tradition says that John ministered in the city of Ephesus. The ancient city built around the worship of Diana of the Ephesians. Diana is a form of the ancient Greek god Aphrodite. The Ephesians believe that the very unusual statue they had of Diana had been dropped out of heaven. Praise God. There stood this gigantic stone of a virgin goddess, and a whole state bowed around her. Amen. And acclaimed her to be God. But she was dead. Only a stone, nothing else. God sent his son, and he is alive. The life is the source of light for humanity. Listen to John in John 1, 4 through 5. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. What is the darkness? Well, it is the darkness of our sin. It is the darkness of the despair in our lives. God says that even The darkness of sin and death cannot hold back the light. Amen? Praise God. The world says we will snuff out the light of Jesus. It must not shine, God says. The darkness cannot hold back the light of the living Son of God. Light comes to our souls to change us, to make us new creatures. And this light comes from Jesus. Amen. Praise be to God. Jesus as the man. John said in John 1 and 14, and the Word was made flesh. The Word was in the beginning. The Word was God. And the Word became flesh. God came in the flesh, in the manger of Bethlehem. It was God in the flesh who walked the streets of Nazareth. It was God in the flesh who touched blind eyes and deaf ears and healed them. Amen? It was God in the flesh who taught by the shore of Galilee. It was God in the flesh who faced controversy at Jerusalem with the religious powers. It was God in the flesh on the cross of Calvary. It was God in the flesh who rose from the dead, and the Word was made flesh, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. The glory of God. Many people claim that Jesus is not the Son of God, saying that he is an example to be followed, but no more. How wrong they are. Praise God. He is not just an example. Any person can be an example. We see in Jesus the glory of the Father. We see him full of grace, full of unmerited favor, and full of truth. We see him, the Son of God, willing to die for us through, though we are sinners. We see him paying the price of our sin on Calvary's cross, though we do not deserve it. Praise be to God. The glory in humankind. John testified that the glory of Christ is available to all in 1 John 1, 1 through 3. He told about his personal experience with Jesus as the Word of life. He testified that he had seen Jesus with his eyes and had touched him with his hands. He is talking about his Christian experience. He is saying Christ was born. Christ came to the world and he began the ultimate sacrifice for sin. But more importantly, he is saying Christ came to me. I saw him. I touched him and he changed my life. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. And my conclusion of this message is this. This is what Christmas means. It is not just a beautiful story, not just a nativity scene. It is not a star in the sky, and certainly not one on top of your Christmas tree. It is Christ living in you and me. Why has God touched my heart, my life? Ask John to change it. He answered himself. But listen, for there is even more. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 John 1:3. With that, John lifts the Christian experience entirely out of the realm of theory and puts it into the realm of practice. Hallelujah. In the beginning was the Word. Is that all? Does the story end with a star and angel and shepherds and wise men? No, my brothers and sisters. That is not all. There is more. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Is that all? No. Jesus is alive. And he comes to us one by one to call us to everlasting life and fellowship with him. Won't you take that call today? The Christian story is Jesus alive. And Jesus alive in you. Is he there? And if he's not, won't you open up your heart and let him in today? My brothers and sisters, time is running out. Don't let it be too late. Has the star shone in your soul? The wise men followed it to Bethlehem. Wise men today come to the Christ and believe in him. I pray that this message was a blessing to you as it was to me. The Word became flesh. Amen. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. All you have to do is repeat this prayer after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Lord, please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life, to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you to the family of God. And all you have to do is to ask the Holy Spirit to guide you to a good Bible teaching church. Amen. Praise be to God. And my benediction is coming from Jude 24:25, where it says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God, our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever and ever. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, so now at this time, our very own Barbara Amore is going to come with our poetry at this time, and we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
I'm blessed. Thank you. To God be the glory.
Oh, man. He's able. He's worthy.
Yes, he
is. The worthy one.
Ooh, yes, he is.
Hallelujah. I just have to say I thank you for that passionate message this morning.
Oh, thank you.
It was beautiful. It was on fire. It was
thank you
so very much for that word.
Amen. God be the glory. I'm sorry, that's mother. Just let me put the answer and I'll put you on hold. I'm gonna mute myself for a second. Amen. All right. Okay, I won't mute myself. She hung up, but I'll call her back.
Oh, mm-hmm. She might have been calling to say how well you did.
I guess I don't know if she was listening or not, but you know she's still getting herself settled in.
So yeah, I know. She just moved, so I know that's not an overnight thing.
No,
you know.
Not at all.
But I wanted to say that as far as your message, that kind of hit the same note that we're talking about in basic theology, which is evolution.
Exactly. I couldn't get that word out. What happened?
I
was just so excited to, I couldn't even pronounce the word.
I hear you.
Yes.
But that's talking about the same thing we were talking about.
Yes, ma'am.
From nothing, God created everything.
Yes.
And before he created it, it was nothing here. So,
amen.
Glory to God. Glory to the Master.
I tell you, thank you, God, for the confirmation.
Oh. Yes. All right. I'm going to read a poem from my book, not to cut the spirit.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Go ahead.
And I have to leave, so I'm going to stay on as long as I can, but I will be listening. I have to go to our concert, which is today.
Okay.
And I didn't remind you of it because it was like you have to go online and get your ticket, and they didn't have too many. But I'll talk to you later because I want you to do something else to support us, all right?
Okay.
Okay. So this is a poem coming from my book, The Profundity of God, a spiritual anthology in poetry. And this is entitled, My Teach Me Letter. Teach me your way, O Lord. Teach it to me today. When I feel the need to brag or boast, teach me what to say. Teach me to be humble like you, Lord, and sometimes have nothing to say. Mm-hmm. Teach me to allow you to raise me up if it be your will, your way. Teach me to wait on you, Jesus, not to always be in such a rush. But people will see, the muted now if you would.
Mm-hmm.
But people will see and people will know. When my reward comes, those who humble themselves shall be exalted. Conversely, those who exalt themselves shall be humbled. You said that in your word. I believe it. Your word is true. But teach me to wait, Jesus. to follow your instructions, your orders, and leave all that other stuff up to you. I know that patience is a virtue, and sometimes it's hard to hold back in anticipation of what's coming, but leave it up to God to reveal. After all, He is the revealer. God knows the who, what, when, where, why, and how to do. So teach me your way, Lord Jesus. Help me, Holy Spirit and God. Help me wait for you, please. Respectfully signed, your student who wants to be more like you, I want to be. Hallelujah.
Praise be to God. Now that is absolutely beautiful. That is something that we should have pinned on our mirrors, on our door. Every day we should read that until we memorize the words, the teaching that we, you know, we just want Christ to just teach us more and more about Him every day.
Exactly. And how to be. How to
yes.
follow Him.
Yes.
So I appreciate God be all the glory.
Hallelujah.
I thank you for that.
Amen. Beautiful. So at this time, I will play a selection while we're waiting on our speaker, our very own Pastor Kathy Duvos from Led by God's Christian Ministry, is going to come with our talk in the sanctuary. So while we're waiting on her, I will play a selection. And this selection is WWJD by Ronald Julian. Amen.
Amen.
That he would wear. Is he tall or is he short? Does he like jazz or contact sports? And what would be his favorite TV show? Sometimes I wonder what he'd drive, or would he go green and ride a bike? These are all the questions I would want to know. What would he do to pass the day? Does he like to read, does he like to play? Take a closer look and you will see, he looks like you. Jesus looks like you, he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like you. What will Jesus do? If Jesus walked the earth today, sometimes I wonder what he'd say. Would he lend a hand to help his fellow man? Would he prioritize his day to get down on his knees and pray? Simply tell the Father thank you. And even with the 9-to-5, would it keep him from the house of God? Cause he's trying hard to gain a little more. Would he be afraid or too uptight, or just ashamed to share his life? Take a closer look and you will see, he looks like you. Jesus looks like you, he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like you. So what will Jesus do?
us, some will ever see. And you're the only words of life some will ever read. So let them see in you the one in whom is all they'll ever need. He looks like you.
With our very own Pastor Kathy Dubos from Led by God's Christian Ministry is going to come with Talk in the Sanctuary, and we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you, Pastor Kathy. How are you this morning?
God bless you, dear heart. Doing awesome. Thank you.
Praise God. Praise God. It's in your hands.
Amen. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me. Come on, let's bless his holy name.
Hallelujah.
I'm so excited this morning. I have been getting all kind of chimes. And when I say chimes, I mean texts. People are just texting back and forth. I've been getting all kind of chimes with words of encouragement, trust the Lord, these are your greater days, and, you know, all kind of. I said, all right now. Mm-hmm. Sound like God's people are waking up.
Okay.
They saying they're not gonna stand for what the world is trying to tell them. They are taking a stand that as long as my God is still in control, everything is going to be all right.
Amen.
And so
amen.
I have been looking at all these, you know, because it's a group text. So I'm looking at all these texts going, whoa, okay, God. People saying, we're not going to take this lying down. Who told us it's over with? I said, okay, now I'm with you. And even though I didn't respond, I was just looking at, because it's one of my father's nephews from the island. And so he chimed me in originally, and all of these people from the island, they really don't know me. But he doesn't care. He like, look, if you got something to say, say it too. And I like, how about I just listen? So I sit there and I listen to them all. See, one of the things that I've learned over the years is that thank you, Holy Ghost. Whether you are a pastor, an evangelist, a bishop, an apostle, or a teacher, one of the things you learn is that you don't always have to say something.
That's right.
Sometimes it's better for you just to listen because you have a better understanding of your audience. Yeah, just listen to what everybody's saying. And right now, I'm just listening to everybody going back and forth. And I can look at the numbers, and I can tell you the ones that are not so strong in their faith and all this. And I'm looking going, oh, why did he say that? Oh, okay. You know, but because sometimes people get into church, and they think because I'm a pastor, because I'm a teacher, because I'm an apostle, because I'm an evangelist, because I am whoever God called me to be, I got something to say. You don't know like I know. Really? Yes, they do. Because the same God that gave it to you can give it to them. Come on now.
Amen. That's right.
Don't start thinking so highly of yourself. God is you're just fortunate that God chooses to use you. Doesn't mean you're better than anybody. It just means you're fortunate to be used. Look
Amen.
At King David. Look at King David. King David said, who am I that you would want to love me this way?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So he's letting us know there's nothing special about me except God feels like I'm one of the ones he can use.
Yes.
And that's how every leader ought to view things. There's nothing that extraordinary about me or special about me except God being in my life orchestrating things through me. That's it.
Oh,
other than that, I'm just like you.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you, 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 and you. Wow, but I listen to them. And sometimes we got to know when to just be quiet because you learn more when you listen.
Amen.
Yeah, you don't always got to talk. Because sometimes you're talking in arenas that you have no idea what's going on. These guys that are texting me, they're all family. They're cousins and everything from the island. And so I don't know what they're telling each other when they see each other. All I know is, you know, my cousin chimes me in, and I'm like, wow, okay. He said, this is an arena you need to be in. So I'm in there, but I'm silent. And he keeps texting me on the backside saying, I know you're listening. And I text him back, and I go, of course I'm listening. And he'll say, thank you. Thank you. What can I say? You know, precious and heavenly Father, thank you for another day, oh God, that you saw fit to allow us to see another day. You woke us up this morning, clothed in our right minds, divine healings within our bodies. And for that, we say thank you, oh God. And even if our bodies are reckoned with pain, we still say thank you, God. Thank you, God. Because we know that you are a healer and this too shall pass. We won't always be down and out. We won't always be ill. We won't always be lonely or whatever we're going through. We won't always be like this. There are going to be coming good days. Why? Because you are yet on the throne. And for that, we say thank you. Now we invite you into this conversation, oh God, and say, have your way. Let this conversation be spoken in love that no one would be offended. And if they are, they won't charge it against us, knowing that our intention is to educate, is to make each other aware of what's going on, but not to offend. We thank you. We love you. We honor and adore you. Have your way right now. Let it all be spoken, talked about, discussed in love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen.
I don't know who is on the line because, you know, sometimes people can be on the line and they get quiet. So I don't know who's on the line Thursday.
Oh.
And who's on the line now? Just us?
Yeah, me, you, and Sister Barbara.
Good morning, Sister Barbara. How are you, dear heart?
Good morning. I'm blessing out your favorite. How are you?
Good, good, good. Thank you for joining in. I appreciate that because I know most Saturday mornings you got a lot going on. So thank you for taking out a little bit of time to join in. Thank you, dear.
Well, as we're speaking, I'm getting dressed. I have a concert, so I'm getting dressed, and I'm going to have to leave. But I'm with you listening, and I'll, you know, respond if I need to.
I understand.
If I am able to. All right.
Amen.
Okay, thank you. I understand. Just the fact that you tried to get in blesses me. Thank
well,
you.
Well, I've been on,
thank
but
you,
it's not
you.
That I get in and I stayed on. I get in at, like, you know, after 10.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. Okay, so here we go. Now we're going to talk about, for those of you that have been on Thursday, again, I said sometimes people be on the internet or listening. I was getting ready to tell them some things that I heard on the Christian radio channel that made me go, did I turn the channel? And then I looked down and said, oh, no, that's still a Christian channel. Mm-hmm. And so I said to them on Thursday, I said, if you want to hear the rest, you got to call in on Saturday. So here I am to discuss what I started to discuss on Thursday, but couldn't because I was there to preach and not to have open discussion. So I saved it for Saturday. Here it is. Thank you, God. We are going to talk about today some of the things that we see or hear on Christian radio, Christian TV, and then we're going to ask ourselves, could this be something that's considered unacceptable, or is it acceptable? Because we have gotten a little bit out there now. If you listen to some of the Christian radio stations, I think we are, like your mother used to say, you're threading thin ice. We're getting out there, and I don't understand it. You know, one of the things is I think we need somebody to wheel us back in because, you know, a lot of times you hear stuff and go, whoa, that ain't God, you know. So we're going to talk about some of the things that are being discussed on Christian stations. And is it acceptable or do we think it could be unacceptable? One of the things I heard the other day, which made me get to this, was the person that was hosting said, there are times when you hear some women say, oh, I got to tap into my masculine side. Mm-hmm. Or you'll hear a man say, I got to tap into my feminine side. And she says, well, the question is it okay for the woman to tap into her masculine side, or is it okay for the man to tap into her female side? And this was her response, the host. She said, well, let me help you. It's okay if you want to tap into your female side, or if you want to tap into your masculine side. Go ahead, tap into it, you know, so that can show off who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, okay, it's going to show us who they are. Okay, I don't understand. She says, because sometimes you're not always going to be feeling like a lady. Sometimes you just get that masculine stuff. I said, oh, my God, you don't even see you shoot crossing the line. But anyway, I listened to her, and I said, oh, okay. So my question to you, one of the questions to you guys this morning is, should Christian women and men be tapping into, should the women be tapping into a masculine side, and should the men be tapping into a female side? And if Sister Barbara is available, I would love to hear her thoughts on this. Okay, so she put the phone down. Okay. I really would love to have heard her thoughts on it because she really digs into that stuff. Okay, so now it is Evangelist Hilda and myself. Evangelist Hilda, what are your thoughts?
Should Christian women and men tap into their feminine side?
Should the women tap into a masculine side of themselves, or should the men tap into a female side of themselves?
For me, I can't speak for everybody, but would not. If I'm a female, let me be a female. If I'm a male, let me be a male. God made me just the way that I am, so... Like I said, for me, no, I wouldn't.
Okay. And I love that answer because you're saying I don't know about anybody else, but for me, I'm just answering for myself. And so I like that answer. I love it. It's wonderful. Sister Barbara, are you available or is she gone?
No, she's still there. She's probably away from the phone.
Okay. Mother is not on the line, is she?
No, no, Mother's not with us this day.
Mother's sitting over there enjoying her little house.
Yes, ma'am.
No, you know,
Sister Laura, can you answer this question before you go?
Can you repeat it?
Okay. The Christian channels are saying, there was a host that said the other day that some of the females are wanting to tap into their masculine side, and some of the men are wanting to tap into the female side. The host of the Christian channel said, it's okay if a woman wants to tap into her masculine side, and it's okay if a man wants to tap into the female side. You know, sometimes you want to tap into that other side of you that makes you just a good person. My question to you guys is, Christian people, should a Christian man or woman be tapping into, should a Christian woman be tapping into a masculine side, or should a Christian man be tapping into his female side? What are your thoughts on that?
That depends on how that is meant and how it is expressed, because as human beings, sometimes men have to come on soft and not be as masculine or as macho as they would normally be expected to be, and the same with women. Sometimes they have to come on macho and be a little more aggressive, and that's when they're looked upon as being, you know, something I won't say, but, you know, it starts with a B, when she's trying to be, establish her beliefs and her rights and, you know, sticking up for herself. So sometimes that has to be done. Now, if he means in a sexual way, then no. That in a sexual way, that's against God. That's a transgression. And it's an abomination.
Okay. Wonderful. I love the way you put that. That's beautiful. Love the way you put that. Okay. Now, how about this? How about when a woman has to be come across real, you know, dominant to get her point across? Why can't she just be considered being aggressive at that time? Or, because they got passive aggressive, that those are words we can use. Why do we have to say pulling out your masculine side, pulling out your female side? My thing is, I watch TV and I watch sometimes the actors, they have to play certain roles to get certain money. And so they tap into the female side or they tap into the male side. But my thing is, if you understand how God operates in the spirit realm. Those are spirits that you're opening yourself up to.
Okay.
And once you open certain doors and let certain spirits out, you can't close the door back. They still there because you let them in. And so I'm thinking that's a spiritual battle. If you open up and say, oh, let me let my masculine side out. Why do you have to say that? A lot of people look at me and they go, you know, she's passive aggressive. And I said, really? I didn't think I was. You know, what they told me, and I said, okay, maybe I am. Lord help me to be the right way so that I don't offend anybody. But I'm not tapping into my masculine side. There's just sometimes that I am aggressive. There are sometimes that I'm just stern. There are sometimes when I come across firm or you know, harsh or something like that. But it doesn't mean that I'm sitting here going, let me tap into my masculine side. No. No, because there's other words that can be used, right? I don't want the devil to take a label and make it seem like you're pulling all the way onto the other end. No, because he will take whatever you say. If life and death are in the power of the tongue, he's going to listen to whatever we say and try to manipulate our words to mean something that's not what we intended for it to be. So if we don't intend that I'm pulling out masculine side, then call me aggressive. Say that she's stern. Say she's being harsh. But I'm not pulling on no masculine side. I don't want to be a man. I don't want to look like a man. I don't want to act like a man.
Mm-hmm.
Even now, Pastor Stephen look at me and go, so when you going to come out and do the yard? I said, ooh, you got me twisted. I ain't doing no yard. Now, granted, there are a lot of women that love to do the yard. I'm just not one of them. I'm like, I take care of the inside of the house. I ain't going out there doing no yard. Vacuuming,
what?
Mowing, blowing trees and all that, doing wedges. Now, if you want me to pick up the leaves and put them in the bag, I'll do that for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you want me to help you plant some flowers, I'll do that for you. I'm not going up there because, first of all, he don't like the way I mow the lawn anyway because I just get to mowing. You know, I'm not going up and down in no line. I just get to mowing. You know, all of it got to come down. He says, no, you got to go up and down in the straight line. And I'm going, man, I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking about mow this lawn and get back inside. But I think that my thing is, I think we ought to be careful
mm-hmm.
with the words we choose to identify ourselves.
Mm.
You know, the word of God does tell us, don't let your good be evil spoken of. So you're trying to do good, and you're, you know, and because sometimes, Sister Barbara's right, sometimes women do have to be a little more stern or a little more aggressive in areas, right?
Yes. Yes.
Doesn't mean they got to tap into a masculine side. They just got to be stern or firm or aggressive,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then there's times when men, they're not tapping into the feminine side. They just got to be a little bit more sensitive. They got to be a little bit more comfortable with allowing
mm-hmm.
certain things, you know, and to pay attention to detail. Because men crack me up. Why they don't want to see kids cry, I don't know. Stop that crying. You ain't supposed to cry.
Oh.
So what you want me to do, wait till I'm 60 and then let it all out? And everybody say that I got issues because I ain't never cried before. Everybody cried. Everybody cried.
That's right.
You know, do not think it's strange for a man or woman to cry. Everybody cries because there are times when that pain is so unbearable, it walks up tears in your eyes.
Oh, yes.
Because it's a painful
right.
situation,
mm-hmm.
right? It's a sad situation that it generates tears in your eyes.
Yes.
So everybody's going to cry. There's nothing wrong with that. Everybody's going to cry because of all the things that's going on in the world. You're going to cry. You cry and people die, although they said that's the time you celebrate. No. The natural body don't know. We supposed to celebrate because that's their home going.
Mm-hmm.
No, the natural body says, oh, God, my mom's gone. My sister's gone. My daughter's gone. My son is
right,
gone.
Right.
And you feel that loss and that pain, and
mm-hmm.
it generates tears in your eyes. And
mm-hmm.
it's okay. That's a natural response. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you look at a man because he's trying to say, oh, he tapped into his female side.
No.
Because guess what? As soon as the world hears that women are tapping into the man's side of man, they're going to take it and run with it and run the wrong direction.
Usually that's what they do.
Yeah, so they're not going to look at it like, okay, well, there's times when a woman has to be a little stern or she has to be aggressive to get a point across or to get some things done. They're not going to look at it like, oh, she's tapping into her man. So you saying I'm a he-man or she-man or something. No, that ain't what I'm saying. All I'm saying is I have to be aggressive sometimes. Sometimes I have to be firm.
Yes.
And the way that it was said on that Christian radio station is like, it's okay if a woman, you know, she wants to be a little masculine and show that side of her and, you know, and it's okay if a man wants to be a little feminine. I said, what is she saying? But it's okay. Because you know why? God made it so we could hear some of the things that are being said now so we understand how we need to be praying. Because we're coming in those days where some of the very elect may be fooled.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, because they're tapping into too many things. That's what happens. you a Christian and you tapping into all kind of stuff, and eventually you're going to get out into the very area that you're tapping into.
Absolutely.
You know how the old people used to say, you play with fire, you're going to get burned.
Absolutely.
But so you cannot keep tapping into things.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Just like I listened to, I just started telling you that I listened to my cousin there and all of them from the islands. They saying all kind of things, and I was encouraged because a lot of what they said today was encouraging. But some of the things they say, and I'm looking, going, oh, I'm tapping into all that, so I just chime right on out, right? Because I don't know well enough to just, and my thing is, if the Holy Ghost gives me something to say, I'll say it. Other than that, I love to say the wrong things, so I don't say nothing. I just chime on out, you know?
That's it. Yep.
We've got to know when to take the back seat and just listen. Yeah. And I know Sister Barbara is a teacher. One of the things, she was teaching Sunday school. I don't know how it works. She is a teacher. One of the things is that if you talking all the time, how are you going to learn? How are you going to learn where your students are at if you never give them a chance to respond?
True.
You have to let them say something so you can see how they've been comprehending what you're teaching.
Right.
So you listen to their feedback, and their feedback is telling you how they are perceiving what you're teaching them, if they're really comprehending what you're saying. Because 9 times out of 10, you're going to turn around and go, that's not what I said. And they go, well, that's how I took it. Exactly. And they're going to go, well, that's how I took it. And you go, well, no, that's not what I meant. What I'm trying to teach you guys is, you know, you call it the other way, what the correct, however you intended for them to get it. You see, but you got to give them a chance to talk about it first. You really do. But that's one of the things that I've heard. And then another thing I heard was, it was a different radio station, and the host, again, it's the host was pretending that he was a female, so he was talking with that female voice. And so I went, what is he doing?
What kind
you
of
know,
radio
what?
Stations are dumb?
And then on TV, I saw the same thing. I saw a preacher preaching, and he was snapping his fingers like he was a female. And you know how female, they identify female with shaking their head and when they talk. And so he's shaking his head, and he said, come on, girl. And I go, you're going too far.
Was he role-playing?
No, he was talking. He was preaching or teaching. And in that, he went into that role where he said, come on now, girl, you understand what I'm talking about? And I'm going, well, that's not okay for you to do. You're not a woman. You're a man. You know, because if you pay attention, and this is the biggest thing, if you pay attention to what these preachers are saying and doing, you will know who they are. Right? Look at some of the preachers in the past that they took their lives. Right? And there was one that I used to watch all the time. I used to watch that guy all the time because he could preach. He could preach. Now, his struggle wasn't with his sexuality. That wasn't his struggle. No. So when I said a man could preach, he could preach. But most of the time he was preaching, he was high.
What?
Yeah, because, well, later on, I don't know if it's true or not, because the man dead and gone. But the spouse came out and she said that that's what he did to take away the nervousness of him being able to preach.
Oh, no.
And so here's the thing. They're saying, so how could he have been such a good preacher if he had to do drugs before he preached?
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
And they're saying, well, that wasn't the anointing of God.
No.
And I'm saying, this is me, unlike you, Evander Hilda. This is my thought. I don't know how anybody else feels. I'm only speaking for me. It does not matter that he was doing drugs. That anointing was on him when he got up there to preach, and he was preaching. And I'm telling you, look at all of it. He had a church of over 7,000. That's one location, right? So trust me, nobody knew what he was struggling with. All they heard was God's word. That's all they heard. Because literally, that's all I heard. But at the end, I was saying, something wrong with him. Why is he saying, I hope y'all praying for me. I hope y'all praying for me. Because in the last month or so, he was going, I hope y'all praying for me. Pray my strength. I'm not perfect either. Pray my strength so I don't get caught up. And so, you know, I would look at that student and go, what's he dealing with? He keeps saying, pray his strength. So, you know, in my own home, I was praying for him. Mm-hmm. But his struggles were so much more in depth than we knew about.
Wow.
Because he was struggling with drugs.
Mm-hmm.
He was struggling, you know. And what my thing is, that's why I say if Christians would be more attentive to one another, right, and really watch out for each other, really be praying for each other, you would know who we are and where we are, right? You mean to tell he got a whole team of leaders, and no one saw that this man was going under?
Wow.
Nobody saw that he was struggling with drugs? Come on now. You had to see something wasn't right. These are his leaders that are with him all the time.
Wow.
Or better yet, I want to ask this wife that's coming forth and telling us what he needed to help him and all this. You mean you never sought help for your husband?
Right. Why did she not
you
come for
you? Didn't go to a bishop or somebody and try to get him some help?
Exactly.
But I understand why she did what she did, because not that I'm in agreement with it, but I understand what she was doing, right? She didn't want to get him help. When I tell you the man was good looking, he was good looking. And you look at him and go, dang, he good looking and he can preach. And when I tell you, I listened to him before I saw him because I heard him on the radio. And I went, oh, my goodness, that brother can preach. Because he's teaching, he's giving you scripture, he's digging into that word. And then when I seen him, I went, that's him? Oh, my God. Somebody better be praying for him, because the women are going to, look, Satan going to use every woman, every man in there to take that man out, because he was good looking. And when I say he was good looking, not just his looks, his personality was soft.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like he was approachable. You could come and say, Pastor, I got a problem. And he's not saying, well, go through my ministers and then, you know, or looking at his arm there saying, how did that person get to me? He wasn't like that. If you made it to him, he was going to make sure he followed through with you. And the reason why I know is because so many people saying, golly, because they were really sad when he took his life. They said, golly, he was so approachable, and he helped people. Not sending you to his leaders. If you made it to him, he was going to see it through with you. And, you know, because I have gone to some pastors, and they said, how'd she get to me? And I said, I just wanted to meet you, you know. I just want to say hi and shake your hand. No, my bodyguard, you should have never made it to me. But you know me, I do like I do with actresses. Or actors that I want to see, I wiggle until I get behind a person, act like I ain't looking at you. Then I turn around, then I wiggle, and I get my way in there. Oh. Is it somebody I want to see? Like, okay, George Jefferson. Now, I don't really care for George Jefferson, but I was there in the airport, and they said, there goes George Jefferson. And I said, really? Let me go see him up close. Not that I was a huge fan. I just, hey, it was somebody famous, and I was trying to get close. So I wiggled my way and act like I was not even paying him no attention. I wiggled my way, and he had bodyguards around him. And I wiggled my way, and my family was standing back going, oh, my God, look at her. And I wiggled my way, and the next thing I know, I was right in his face. I said, look at you. You know, I said something stupid. I don't know. And I might have said Weezy or something stupid. I don't know. And he looked at his bodyguard like, how did she get to me? And so nevertheless, the bodyguards picked me up and they escorted me out.
You mean they literally picked you up off the floor and escorted you out?
They took me by my arms and lifted me up and escorted me out. And my feet were dangling in the air.
But while they would, by the time they realized all that, you could, if you wanted to do bodily harm to him, you would have already did it.
Exactly. And that's why they picked me up, because I made them look bad, because I got to him. Mm-hmm. And all I was an excited fan or something. I don't do nothing.
I just got close to him. Those are the ones that do bodily harm.
Now, there was another one. I got close to Clifton Davis, and Clifton Davis looked at me. I said, oh, my God, look at you. Look at you. And I know, even though initially he looked at the bodyguard like, where she came from? I said, look at you. You're just as handsome as you is on TV. And so he kind of gave him a look like, okay, she's okay. She's just crazy, that's all. I said, oh, my God, I didn't know I'd be standing here with Clifton Davis. You know, and then there's some other ones that I've seen that they took pleasure in me coming up to them. Right? Like, I went to Telly Savalas.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm not trying to get off the channel. Watch this. I went to Telly Savalas. And I was like, oh, my God, it is you, Telly. And he was Greek because his language, you could hear that strong accent.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at her. I said, Telly, my mama goes to two jobs. And when she come home at night, she's exhausted. But she will not go to sleep until she watched Telly Savalas.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at me, and he said, I got something for her. He said, what's your other name? I said, Fanny. And he went in his pocket and he gave her two of his lollipops.
You had to be
a fan to understand what that means. Because every time you watch Telly Savalas, he had a lollipop.
Always had a lollipop in his mouth. Mm-hmm.
So for my mother, when she got the two lollipops, she knew. She said, wow, he gave me his lollipop? And I gave her a little piece of paper that he wrote his name. And she was trying, look, she wouldn't even eat the lollipop. She just took on the words to show the people what Telly Savalas gave her two lollipops through her door. You see, so there are some people that are so approachable, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That they love the fact that someone cares enough to want to watch them, to want to pay that type of attention. Then you got others, they just want to be modest. And that teacher was one of those people. He loved to know that he was coming across to the people that way, that they were getting an understanding of God's word.
Yeah.
And so he was very gentle and approachable. But, you know, my thing is, for someone to be like that and still have that kind of struggle, you mean to tell me nobody could see it? Now, the wife, she's probably looking at it going, I don't want these women messing with him, whatever. So she saw his struggle, but she wasn't helping him. Okay, you know what? Let me take it back. I don't know if she was helping him or not.
Exactly.
I don't know.
You weren't there.
I don't know what went on in that house. I don't know.
Exactly. So
you know, but I was saying that it doesn't appear that there was a great amount of intervention for him because he was alone in New York when he took his life.
Wow.
And how about this? The leaders, they so stupid, I wouldn't have never said nothing. The leaders said, we didn't even know he was outside of Florida.
Huh?
I said, okay, y'all could have just kept that to yourself.
They
didn't know
he
left home. I don't know. The wife, none of them knew. But here's my thing. He went to the airport, got on a plane, got a hotel room in New York, and killed himself.
Wow.
Now, what kind of demon was that he was struggling with? That was a strong demon. You know what I'm saying? He was really going through some stuff. And a lot of times people think that because someone is so good at something and they're just, oh, they can make you laugh, they can preach that word, but they don't have struggles. They have struggles.
Yes,
right?
Look
at Robin Williams. He made the whole world laugh.
Yeah. And he was.
But he struggled with the fact that when the day comes when he can't be as funny.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? And, and he led, from what they say, he led a lonely life, but he made the world laugh.
Yeah. That's
so because someone is so good at something and they can make you laugh or they can preach a word or whatever, it doesn't mean they don't have secret struggles.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that. And on that note, those people that, those hope that are saying the things that they're saying, I'm saying whoever is around you needs to start praying for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you find this acceptable, right? Watch that now. If you find some of the things you're saying acceptable, then that's telling me that's something you're dealing with. You believe what you're saying. You see what I'm saying? So why not sit down with them and say, is everything okay in your life? You know, should I be praying for you? Or, you know, do you need some help because I'm here for you? It's okay to do that.
Yes.
To let one another know that you're there for them, you're praying for them.
Because
sometimes, believe it or not, some of the people be thinking, no one cares about me, no one's thinking about me, you know,
but
no one calls me. And it's not true. So why not show them the love now where they can be receptive of it? Right? Mm-hmm. Look at Apostle Mother Wiggins. When you went to visit her, she about lost her mind. She had a visitor. When Sister Barbara or myself or somebody calls her, she about lose her mind just to think that someone's thinking about her. You know what I'm saying? These are the things you got to constantly do, all of us. We need to stay in touch, stay in tune with one another. Because sometimes you just don't know. Some people feel lonely. Some people feel like nobody cares about them. You just don't know what they're going through. And what did I say? She gets on the line and she's praying and she's giving you that word and everything. You wouldn't have known that she was in the house by herself. You wouldn't have known none of that unless she told us.
Exactly.
But that's what I'm saying. Some of these radio hosts, we have to be careful of what we're allowing into our ear gate.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's why the Word of God says, guard your anointing. Don't go everywhere. Don't do everything. If it's going to draw you out from who you are, be alert of your surroundings. You can go have fun. You can go do things. You can go enjoy yourself.
Yep.
But don't let yourself tip into something you're not supposed to tip into.
Exactly.
Right? You have to guard your own footsteps. Or better yet, ask the Holy Ghost to help you since you can't do it on your own. And he'll help you. He'll let you know whether or not you're supposed to be there.
Absolutely.
Right? But a lot of times we don't want to ask the Holy Ghost for help. Most of the time when we want to do so, we want to go someplace, you think we say, Holy Ghost, should I go there? No.
No, we don't
say
that.
I want to go, so I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
I know how to take care of me. I ain't going to get myself in no trouble.
Very
time I say I know how to take care of me and I ain't going to get in no trouble, that's when trouble sit right there looking at me.
Come on now.
Just waiting for me to come and enjoy my birthday so it can show up. Yes, Lord.
Today is our First Lady's birthday, too.
Is it?
I thought it was yesterday.
Well, yesterday. But still, I told her to celebrate to the end of the month. That's what I do.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know what? Why don't we tell each other when our birthday is so somebody can show you some love? Sister Laura, I know you got a form for her.
I sent her a card and a gift.
Oh. Sister Laura said, I didn't miss the birthday. I sent her a card and a gift.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of things that let people know someone's thinking about them, someone's concerned. What was yesterday, the 9th?
10th.
The 10th.
The 10th. Okay, her birthday's on the 10th
of December.
Okay, gotcha. So when I said, Sister Laura, I know you got a horn for her, that's just not the gift. That's just showing everybody on Zoom, because I think you're on Zoom with them on Sunday afternoon. Just letting everybody know how much we love her and we're thinking about her. You know, that's all I meant. I mean no harm. But I think it's wonderful that you guys sent her gifts and cards, because they need that. Look what she's doing. She get on Zoom every Sunday. She's trying to please everybody. She wants to make sure everybody's happy, everybody got what they need. So why wouldn't we in turn around and show her some love? So, yeah, that's a good thing. Bless God for her. Wow. You know what? In churches, when you're in churches, is anybody celebrating a birthday today?
Oh, yeah. But unfortunately.
And then you got to stand up and everybody sing the birthday song to you?
We sung happy birthday to her last night.
Yeah, you kind of get embarrassed, but you're still really loving it. All I'm saying is there's some things being said on the radio. There's some things being said on TV. When you find that what people, whether they on Christian channels or not, when they are challenging your faith in God, you don't have to debate. You don't have to argue with them. You don't have to say nothing. You just put up your finger and tap on out. That's a place I don't want to be. Because I'm not going to deal with you challenging my faith or my love, my belief in God. If you want to challenge it with him. I'm not going to sit there and debate anything with you. I'm not even going to go through why I believe what I believe. I don't have to do that. If I choose to do it, it's one thing. Mm-hmm. But I don't have to sit there and defend my faith to you. The Word of God defends itself. We don't need everybody standing up for it, right? But there are times when you'll be sitting there and then the conversation go left and they're trying to get people to defend. Well, if God is real, what is... And if God is, and when they start those kind of conversations, I said, let me go. I think I better go. I was sitting in a church, Pastor Stephen, it was a church that he was working for, and they had a whole lot of thousands of members. And they used to always invite me to the Wednesday afternoon luncheon. And I go, no, just hit the chief pastor, see if I can go. But then when I see that meal, I go, I could sit down for a second because I want to eat, right? Yeah, I'm like, good Lord, they have good food. So I get to sit down, and the man is saying, the guy that they invited in to come and teach them, he's supposed to be a special guest, he said, why do people call the Holy Spirit a ghost, Holy Ghost? Because when I hear ghosts, that's something that frightens me. I said, okay, I got to go. I grabbed my meal. I said, I'll see y'all later. And got on out of there. Because I could tell right then, you getting ready to go in some areas that's going to make me upset. And so it's best that I grab my plate and go. And I got to, he said, why do they say, he said, why? Now, here's the thing. It might have been out of 150 people in there, it might have been 3 African-Americans, me, Pastor Stephen, and another lady. And he says, why do they say ghost? When I hear ghost, it's something that scares me. I said, oh, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
He said, it's the Holy Spirit. I said, okay, I got to go, y'all. I'll see y'all later. Love you. and went over my knee. And then kind of find out when Pastor saw me again, the pastor of the church, because he was very good friends. He was Stephen's boss. Of course, you know, he knows us. So he said, come here, you. I said, what? Now, they are Caucasian. They were Caucasian. So he says, come here, you. I said, what? What do you want? What do you want? And it was like a week and a half later. He said, I didn't see you all week. I said, oh, I had to work. He said, come here, come here. I said, what is it? What is it? Dr. King? Because his name is Dr. King Sean. That's his name. Not like he's Dr. King. Dr. King. So I said, what is it, Dr. King? He said, no, I haven't seen you all week around here. I said, sir, I had to work. He said, no. Because I know days when you had to work and you come scooting here late. I said, sorry, I had to work, but I'm here. He said, I didn't see you at all. I said, I don't know. He said, I want to make sure what he said didn't stop you from coming back to this church. He was not speaking for us. He was a guest, and I had no idea he was going to come across that way. I said, okay. He said, so I don't want you. And then look what he did on Sunday. I showed up to show him that I'm not offended with the church. I love the church, and he knew that I love the church. And I showed up that Sunday, and when he was talking about the Holy Spirit, he just said, and the Holy Ghost, and I said, you better shut your mouth, Dr. King, because he let them know it's nothing wrong with, if some people choose to say the Holy Ghost and some people choose to say the Holy Spirit, isn't it still the same thing? You can't see him.
True.
So some people were brought up calling him the Holy Ghost, and some people were brought up calling him the Holy Spirit, and there's nothing wrong with that. And we should not acknowledge as if there is something wrong. And when he did that, he got a whole lot of respect from me. He really did. And he could tell because I was jumping and screaming shocked. He said, they go my girl. I thought I lost her. That's what he said over the forehead. He said, they go my girl. I thought I lost her.
Yep, it's just another term for the Holy Spirit. That's
exactly.
All. It's
he knows
thing.
I hear a good word,
I'm
going to jump and shout. If it's something I don't agree with, then I'm just going to get quiet because I'm in somebody else's house, you know?
All right.
But so we bless God. We just got to be careful what we're allowing to go into our ear gate. Even though it says this is a Christian channel or this is a Christian TV show, you still have to be alert. Is it lining up with the Word of God?
That's right.
You still got to know whether or not what they're saying is truly lining up with what God said. Yeah. Or else, if not, then why would he put it in his Word? That we got to be careful in later days for false teachers and false preachers. So that lets us know we have to be attentive to what we're hearing.
Yes.
Is it lining up with the Word of God? It does not matter what their title is. What they're saying, is it lining up with the Word of God? And before I close, let me say this. We got to do like the people did with Paul and Silas. And Silas was preaching their hearts out. It was so, so good. And it says that the people went home and searched the scriptures for themselves to make sure what Paul and Silas were saying was true.
Yeah.
And then they accept
it. Love you.
Okay.
Shalom.
God bless
you.
Love
enjoy
you
your day.
Love
you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too.
And so it says that they went home, searched the scriptures for themselves, and then they received Paul and Silas.
Amen.
So we got to get back to that. We've got to start searching the scripture for ourselves again.
That's
to
right.
To make sure what we're hearing is lining up with the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Don't just take it because apostle so-and-so said it, or vicious, well, teachers, pastors, evangelists, you know, don't take it at face value, you know.
Right.
Make
That's
sure
right.
you go home and look it up for yourself.
That's
so
right.
you understand that what you're being taught is lining up with the Word of God. I had a boss that absolutely loved Letter by God.
Mm-hmm.
But he wrote down every scripture I used,
That's
everything
right.
I said, and he would go home and search it. And when I see him at work the next week, he'd be telling me, I said, oh, my God, you got into it like that? He said, yeah, I want to make sure. I just wanted to make sure. I said, okay, then. All right.
And he did the right thing, because you have a lot of people who go to church, they listen to the preacher, but then they don't write down the scriptures of what or the question of what the preacher is asking or the scriptures. So take his word at face value.
Exactly. And so that is what we need to get back to, because now there's some things coming across on the Christian channels. There's some things coming on Christian TV that is not so Christian.
That's right.
But you're not going to know if you don't search those scriptures for yourself. You're not going to know if you haven't received Christ as your Lord and Savior, so that you have the Holy Ghost letting you know that's not of God.
Right? Right?
You need the teacher's guidance. And the teacher's guidance is the Holy Ghost. So we thank God for all of you. Right now, if there's anybody out there that has not given their life to Christ, it is not too late. God is waiting on you, and you. He's waiting on you to make a conscious decision to give your life to Christ. He is wanting you to accept his Son as your Lord and Savior. And so he's made it easy for you to come into the family. All you have to do is confess that you're a sinner. Father God, I'm a sinner. I confess of my sins. Forgive me of my sins. I believe that your Son Jesus came and died on the cross for all of our sins.
Mm-hmm.
Come into my life. I will make you my Lord and Savior. And after you do that, your next request is, lead me to a good household of faith where I can grow into the knowledge of who you really are. And that's it. And God is wrapping his holy arms around you, saying, daughter, son, I've been waiting for you and waiting for you. And he's still waiting. He's still waiting. You may not have made the choice today to come in, but the day that you choose to come in, God is going to be sitting there waiting on you, saying, I've been waiting for you. Because he is long-suffering. That means he's patient. He's given us an opportunity to come in on our own. He wants us to feel the love that he's showing us. Even if you haven't come in yet, he's still showing you love. He's still showing you. Wake up every day, don't you? You got a job, don't you? You got a roof over your head, don't you? Still showing you love.
Amen.
He's got to show you love, because he said, it's through love and kindness that I draw thee.
Mm-hmm.
So look around. You'll see his love and his kindness towards you, because he wants to draw you into the family.
Yes,
right? And don't be afraid to come in, because he doesn't want to condemn you. He wants to love on you. Amen.
Amen.
Precious and Heavenly Father, thank you for your word of encouragement today, to encourage us to dig deeper in your word, to make sure what we hear is lining up with your word, to make sure we're not taking things on the radio, on TV, or other avenues at face value that could lead us astray. A little every day, just taking us a little bit away from you every single day. And when we look back, we're so far away from you because of the teaching. So thank you for coming to educate us that we have got to make sure it lines up with your word. Don't take everything at face value based on the person's title in the church. We still need to search the scriptures for ourselves. We thank you.
Right.
We love you. Everybody under the sound of my voice, we pray that you will continue to bless every household every household that continues to accept you at face value, that they have faith in you, oh God, that you will continue to lead and guide all of us in the way you would have us to go. May we continue to give ear to hear what thus says the Lord. We ask all of these blessings in the mighty name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Back to you, Evangelist Holman.
God bless you all, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Apostle Speaks with our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins. Love you guys. Have a wonderful weekend. Well, the rest of the weekend. And
well,
a blessed
I week. Am Pastor Kathy DuVaux. You only said Apostle Mother Wiggins.
No, I said The Apostle Speaks. That's the name of the program.
Uh-huh. And the name of this program is Talking to Sanctuary.
Right. Thank you. And also, the Apostle you do that to me all the time. But not neglecting our very own Pastor Kathy DuVaux from Led by God's Christian Ministry.
Oh, thank you.
In this sanctuary. I love the talk today because I tell you, I don't even listen to a lot of those Christian radio stations or even watch them on TV because I think every time when there was a preacher there that was preaching something and it wasn't lining up with the word of God, it's like I always fall asleep or change the channel.
Well, what's happening is you get caught up in listening to the gospel music, and then when the song finishes, they'll chime in and they'll say something.
Yes.
So, yeah. And when she chimed in and she said that, I went, what?
Whoa.
So we just got to be careful what we're listening
to
and what we hear.
That's true. That is
we
got to
make sure we're studying the scriptures for ourselves so
Amen.
We know God's truth. Amen.
That's right.
God
Amen.
Bless you guys. I love
God
you.
Bless you, Pastor.
Have a great
Saturday. How are you? Amen. Have a blessed day, everybody.